The Healing Hand, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1854. Tanya gazed dreamily out of the window of the train as it flashed past and thought just how attractive the French fields looked. Even the hard-working men and women on their farms seemed to have a romantic atmosphere about them. It was something she did not see in England. She was thrilled to be travelling in one of the new fast trains from the Gare du Nord to Boulogne. It was the first time she had been in one, and it was even more exciting than she had expected. Tanya had been at a school in Paris for the last 2 years. She knew she would never forgive her stepmother for not allowing her to come home so that she could have said goodbye to her beloved father before he died. Her stepmother, however, had been adamant, saying that she must stay at the school in Paris until her education was complete. She fully realized it was not because Lady Amesley was interested in what she learned. In fact, she had known from the moment her father had remarried, after her mother's death, that the new Lady Amesley had found her a nuisance. And she certainly did not wish to chaperone Tanya into the social world. Tanya recognized that life was going to be difficult. The first thing she must do when she arrived back was to pick up the threads with her friends and relatives. "I expect, as we are living in London, it will not be too difficult," she tried to reassure herself. At the same time, she could just hear her stepmother saying in the voice she always used to her stepdaughter, but never to her husband, "You will stay in France, Tanya, until I decide when you can return." It became even more complicated when she had turned 18 last May. Her stepmother had written to the Mother Superior of the school, which was part of a French convent, to say that Tanya was to stay there as long as possible. She was indeed prepared to spend more money on her education, but it was money her stepmother obviously begrudged her. After Christmas, the Mother Superior sent for Tanya and spoke to her very kindly. "We have loved having you here at the school, Tanya, and you have been an exemplary pupil. But you are older than the other girls, and I think you should now go back to your own home. I sincerely hope you will eventually find someone you love and be married." Tanya had not wished to leave, but she knew in her heart that the Mother Superior was right in thinking she was too old to stay on at the convent school. It was a most exclusive school that accepted only the daughters of noblemen or royalty, whether they were English, French, or any other nationality. It was now the beginning of February, and she was being sent home despite the protests of Lady Amesley. "I would have kept you another month, dear child," the Mother Superior had said, "but it so happens that Sister Agnes is going to London for family reasons, and this is a good opportunity for you to travel with her." She was well aware that the Mother Superior was always annoyed when the nuns had to be taken away from teaching to escort some girl who had to return home during the term time, for whatever reason. There had been one pupil, last term, that had to be escorted home as far as Egypt, and the history lessons had suffered. Sister Agnes taught English, and the school would have to find a temporary tutor until she was able to return. Sister Agnes was most upset at having to go back to England to be with a dying relative, and she had come away from the school in a distraught state of mind. Tanya spent several hours on leaving Paris trying to soothe Sister Agnes. "I know he will die before I get home," she was wailing. There was nothing Tanya could possibly say, except that she was sure, which she was not, that Sister Agnes would arrive home in time. She had often wondered why religious people made such a fuss about death. If they believed that someone was swept up into a perfect heaven, why should they weep so much for those who had passed on? She suspected that it was they themselves who were frightened of death. Her mother had always taught her to pray when she was a child, and she had always believed in some power overhead directing her life and taking care of her. But she had no wish to return home now after her dear father's death. Her stepmother disliked her, and she knew that she would not be a welcome member of the household.